Adventures in Research. The story of science is without a beginning and without an end, and is forever unfolding. Man has made science, and in return, science has made man. For civilization is basically the product of what man has dared dream, think, and do with his hands. Therefore, to know science is to know the lives and dreams of men who have created civilization. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of a simple monk, a scholar, whom many scientists call the living link that bridged the Dark Ages into our present-day modern civilization. This man was Roger Bacon, Light of the Ages. Roger Bacon, or Friar Bacon, as the world came to know him, was born in 1214 in the small village of Ilchester in Somerset, England. His father, a wealthy farmer, sent the boy to school with the parson of the town. Young Bacon learned so fast that before long his teacher, Parson Matthew, could instruct him no more. One day, the parson met the elder Bacon on the street and stopped to talk to him.
Oh, good day, Parson Matthew. Good day to you.
Good day to you, Mr. Bacon.
And my son, Roger. How is he progressing in his studies?
Excellently, sir, excellently.
Oh, that pleases me.
Mr. Bacon, I would like to talk to you about your son. Mm-hmm. Roger is extremely gifted. He's been blessed with great wisdom, great truth, and he should cherish it. For wisdom is rare among us, Mr. Bacon.
I truthfully spoken.
As the boy's father, it becomes your duty to encourage your son's gift. Well, to give him further opportunity to continue with his studies.
But Roger has learning enough.
The world has need of scholars, sir. Much of ancient knowledge, formerly buried, is now being unearthed. And learned men like your son are sorely needed to decipher this material.
And in what manner will this reward him?
In gold, no. But in the blessing of mankind, infinitely so. Your son is ready for Oxford, sir. I beg you to permit him to continue his studies.
I will ponder the matter, Parson. But for the present, you can do me a kindness by not saying more to the boy about his career. I will speak to him. Good day, sir.
Good day, Mr. Beck.
And speak to his son, the elder Bacon did. For no sooner did he arrive home.
Roger!
Yes, father?
Come here and bring your books.
Yes, father.
Oh, give them here. Now, you see this key? I am locking your books into this chest.
What have I done?
Your Parson Matthew thinks I'll have you a scholar, does he? Well, I have different plans, my boy. And instead of books, I give you this.
It's a cart whip.
Aye, so it is. And now, boy, listen to me. I will have you no scholar nor priest, nor shall you be better learned than I. You have education enough. You can tell now by the almanac when it's time to sow wheat and barley and peas. I will teach you when to sell grain and cattle. Now, take you this whip, and I will teach the use of that also. For it will become more profitable to you than all your Latin and books and Parson Matthew.
You would have me become a farmer?
Aye. An honorable profession it is, too. Before me, my father and his father were men of the soil, and ye shall follow.
But I wish to go to Oxford.
Enough! Shall follow my advice, or else you shall feel the smart hand of my anger.
Fortunately for the world, Roger Bacon did not give up his books. Once having tasted their sweetness, life was unbearable without them. Soon after the talk with his father, young Roger Bacon left home and entered a monastery to continue his studies. So advanced was he already in knowledge that the monks sent him to Oxford, where he took his degree in 1233. From Oxford, he then went to Paris and took his degree as a doctor of theology and became Friar Bacon. In the year 1250, the strangest monk that ever lived returned to England to lecture at Oxford. Friar Bacon's lectures were not on religious subjects, but on education and science. He was tolerant of everything but ignorance and falsehood, and he began to attack the writings of one, Alexander of Hales, who was looked upon as the world's greatest educator because he had written a book with questions and answers on many subjects.
This man, Alexander of Hales, is an uneducated man. For no man of learning hath ready answers for everything. He does not question. He seeks no facts. He does not observe. He merely states half-truths. Therefore, any system of education based on such falsehoods is absurd. And those who persist in imparting such ignorance are impostors.
Friar Bacon, a question, sir.
I invite questions. Proceed.
Under this glass of the table, you have a sturgeon. Now, I have peered through the tube at the fish and also at the caterpillars. Truly, they were enlarged by the glass, and I took note of what you taught us. But, Friar, is not this contradictory to the descriptions of sturgeons in Palestine and the caterpillars of Macedonia as they appear in the ancient writings?
And Aristotle, he described them differently too, Friar. Whom are we to believe?
I am not in conflict with Aristotle. I am merely searching for truth. Here, under this crude instrument, you can see for yourselves. The sturgeon and caterpillar of Western Europe differ from Aristotle's descriptions.
Should we question such sources? Is it not heresy?
Truth is not heresy.
But, Friar, most of our knowledge of nature comes from the writing of Aristotle.
I would suggest that you forget Aristotle and observe nature for yourselves. 1 hour of actual observation would be more rewarding than 10 years spent reading Aristotle. If you would learn about fish, then go to the river and catch ye fish and cut them open and observe them. If you would learn about caterpillars, go ye to the fields and gather caterpillars and do likewise. Study nature from life, not from books.
Such ideas shocked the scholars, and they went to Bonaventura, the Franciscan head, to complain.
This man is a danger to the safety of the state.
He dares to question the great Aristotle.
Why is he so curious about the insides of fishes and the insides of insects?
He is probably a black magician trying to upset the established order of things.
He is probably old Satan himself.
Bonaventura ordered Friar Bacon to stop his lecturing and banished him to Paris. A simple and trusting soul, true to his religious vows, he obeyed. For 10 years, he was virtually a prisoner. He was not permitted to have books or instruments or writing material. He was shut off from all contact with cultivated men. In 1265, Guy de Fulk, whom Bacon had known in England, became Clement IV and ordered Bacon freed at once. Moreover, he commissioned him to write a book on the sciences. Bacon went to work with wholehearted fervor. All that he needed was already lodged in his mind. In 18 months, he wrote 3 volumes, constituting a virtual encyclopedia of the science of the age. These were the famous Opus Maius, Opus Minus, and Opus Tertium. In the Opus Maius, for the first time since Archimedes, was presented the true method for scientific research.
Accept nothing on hearsay. Accept nothing that results from inductive reasoning. Prove everything. There is only one guide to truth, and that is experiment backed by deduction.
Thus appeared a new voice in the modern world, stirring the minds of men to inquire into the nature of things. The Middle Ages, asleep for centuries, began to awaken, began to see truth applied to the fears and superstitions of the day.
Look, Father, a rainbow.
Cover thine eyes. Look not. 'Tis a dreadful warning.
I say 'tis a prediction.
All of ye are wrong. 'Tis the tracing of the Almighty's finger across the sky.
To all this, Bacon simply replied,
the rainbow is caused by rays of sunlight passing through raindrops. Nothing more.
Medicine in the Dark Ages was buried in superstition, too. People believed that sickness came from the devil, Knaves sold amulets and bits of writing to protect the faithful from the ills handed out by evil spirits.
Pater noster, quies in caelo sanctificet.
Elizabeth! Elizabeth! Doctor, must she die?
I have done all I can for her. I have given her purges, bled her thrice.
What can I do? Father, tell me.
You can do nothing, my son, but pray for her. She suffers from the devil's work.
Give her more of this medicine. Mix into a compound some gold, flower of seed dew, spermaceti, bone of stag's heart, and flesh of Tyrian snake. Boil them on the fire in sufficient water. Give 2 ounces twice a day. This may prolong her life.
The medicine will do no good. Fast her and pray. Pater noster, quies in caelo.
But Bacon had this to say of illness, health, and long life.
Illness comes not from devils and spirits, but from a condition inside the body itself. To live longer, one must rely on the ordinary rules of health. These are observed by but few, and usually not till the close of life, when it is too late. If suitable regimen were observed by all, no doubt life would be much prolonged.
In his 3 great works, Opus Maius, Opus Minus, and Opus Tertium, Bacon wrote on divinity, medicine, optics, music, astronomy, geography, metaphysics, logic, and moral philosophy. He discovered errors in the calendar. He understood the casting of metals, the arts of war and agriculture. Nothing escaped his mind. He bridged a chasm of 7 centuries and predicted marvels that only recently have come to pass.
He was fascinated by light and experimented with lenses.
He foretold the invention of the automobile.
He prophesied the airplane and the steamship.
The discoveries made by the famous monk and the celebrity he attained naturally excited envy and suspicion.
What goes on in that devil's smithy of his, eh? He's up to no good, I say.
Always tinkering around with bits of glass and horrible bugs and such. I climb he's in the devil's employ.
Burning at the stake is what he needs.
Opposition to Friar Bacon's teaching grew so strong that his former patrons reversed themselves and now condemned his writings as full of the most frightful heresy. Bacon defended himself in his De Nullitate Magiae.
Because these things are beyond your comprehension, you call them the work of the devil. My writings are not productions of magic, but contain my particular observations of life.
In 1278, the famous friar was again thrown into prison. The greatest thinker then living, now old, shut up alone, deprived of all means of carrying on his precious studies, endured for 14 years, until broken in health and spirit, his friends finally secured his release. His work was done, but to the last, he spoke out against the darkness to which he had so courageously brought the light of understanding. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.